Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The President of the United States, Mr. Biden, and the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, in conversation in these hours and over these weeks about what is to be done about Iran. Iran is the driver of the attacks on Israel, of the disorder in the Middle East for some years, the terror sponsor, but at this point capable of launching ballistic missiles at a civilian population and regarded as its due as a nation state. That is an outlaw state. What is to be done? I welcome Jonathan Schanzer, Senior Vice President for Research for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He's traveling, but he's here to help us understand what may be on the Prime Minister's mind, what may be on the President's mind, as we come to these last hours before the blows are exchanged one more time. Certainly the offensive in Lebanon is deepening. Hamas is not solved, although it's badly damaged and broken. Sinwar may or may not be alive. We'll leave that for another day. Right now, the Prime Minister. Jonathan, to your understanding, what are the major concerns for the Prime Minister outside of Israeli politics? I understand that's always on his mind, but that isn't the business of the White House. What does he want to convey from the people of Israel to the White House about these moments? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I think the Prime Minister of Israel has quite frankly had enough as it relates to the restraint that has been imposed upon Israel for the last year. At roughly the 11-month mark, sometime last month, we began to see the Israelis go on the counteroffensive. This was after sustaining incoming from Gaza, from Lebanon, from the West Bank, from Iraq, from Syria, from Yemen, from Iran itself, 7 fronts that Israel was taking incoming fire. And there was, I think, a determination made on the part of the Prime Minister and on the part of his security cabinet, on the part of his war cabinet, that it was time to fight back. Now, of course, they have been fighting in Gaza. They have been fighting in the West Bank. But really, the big problem was Lebanon. There was a fear on the part of the White House that if Israel responded in kind to all of the violence that had been unleashed on Israel, if they responded in a similar way, that we would go past the point of no return, regional war that would erupt, and that it would be something that the U.S. would not be able to contain. Well, what we've seen actually over the last month is that Israel has done some remarkable work in neutralizing Hezbollah. What started with one targeted strike against a senior leader then became a series of operations, exploding pagers and walkie-talkies. Then we saw additional targeted strikes against the top leaders, including Hassan Nasrallah himself, the Secretary General of Hezbollah. This has now led to a sense that Hezbollah is unraveling, and Israel wants to press on the offensive. They want to continue to destroy Hezbollah. And on top of that, they want to be able to respond in kind to Iran's 181 ballistic missiles that were fired into Israel. The President of the United States is trying to restrain the Israelis still. And this is not sitting well with the Israelis. This is, I think, the crux of the conversation. Biden's going to call for calm. The Israelis are saying calm didn't work. We need to win. And I think that is the real friction between these two somewhat embattled allies right now.
What is the vision that the White House has for Iran in 2025 or the remainder of 2024? Because after firing those missiles, what does the White House imagine Iran can be? How do you talk to someone who's trying to kill civilians with ballistic missiles?
Well, it's interesting. We're hearing a couple of different things, and they are at odds with each other right now, coming from the White House. On the one hand, we heard recently that the White House was considering joining Israel in a strike on Iran in response to the weapons that were fired last week, those 181 ballistic missiles. So on the one hand, you're hearing that the U.S. wants to engage in that reprisal. On the other hand, we are hearing today that the administration may be in discussions with the Iranians about a long-term ceasefire, a long-term truce with Iran, with Hezbollah, with Hamas, in other words, an end to the war. At the same time, we're also hearing the possibility, all unconfirmed at this point, that the administration may be dangling $6 billion in sanctions relief, releasing money that is currently being held in Qatar, for the Iranians, perhaps as a way of buying off the regime. The White House denies this entirely. And at the same time, we are seeing reports of a very frustrated president, one who is using expletives to describe Mr. Netanyahu. He has been apparently rather brutal in his description of the Israeli prime minister, who again is, I think, really doing everything that he can to defend his country and his people. There are 10 million people that have been at war now for the better part of a year. This is the, I think this explains the friction. I do not see, however, at the end of the day, an American strategy. I do not see a cohesive strategy for containing or defeating the Islamic Republic of Iran. It looks to me like the administration is trying to just simply contain a regional war that might work to its detriment in early November when Americans head to the polls. That seems to be the top priority, and that will, of course, not be sufficient for the Israelis who see this as an existential fight. Truly, the Second War of Independence is how many Israelis are now viewing the war that broke out on October 7th last year.
The region, we've checked off some states before. I want to just be very quick. Jordan and Egypt especially are critical here because both are at peace with Israel. How do they see this contest with Iran? Do they want it to go forward, or are they on the in the wider war must be stopped school?
Look, you're going to hear two things out of these sorts of countries, as well as from the Arab states, the Gulf Arab states further afield. They're all saying that they want to see this all stop. They're saying that they want an end to the war. But we also know that all of these countries are incredibly fearful of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the capabilities that Iran could have if it goes nuclear. But even those conventional capabilities are a threat to the entire region. I think quietly they're probably cheering for an Israeli response that does real damage to Iran itself, to the Islamic Republic, and they're probably cheering the dismantling of Hezbollah and the dismantling of Hamas. They're, of course, concerned about civilian casualties. They're concerned about loss of life. But I think everyone at this point understands the game in the Middle East. This is a contest between Israel and Iran. And just now, as the Israelis are gaining, seemingly gaining the upper hand over the Islamic Republic, we're now starting to hear calls for a ceasefire by the United States. It is going to be very interesting to see how all this all plays out.
And the adversaries, Moscow and Beijing, have they weighed in with an opinion of which way this goes?
It's been remarkably quiet on the part of China and Russia just in the last couple of days. We don't see them making a lot of noise here, but we do know that, of course, if the Israelis struck energy assets in Iran, that would be something that China would be very displeased about. We know that if the Israelis struck some of the ballistic missile factories and the drone factories, that would be something that the Russians would be unhappy about. So we could still see the creeping in of great power competition in this regional contest. I think the Israelis are going to try to do whatever they can to keep China and Russia out for the time being as we wait and see what the Israelis strike inside Iran in response to that ballistic missile barrage we saw last week.
You're very good to indulge me on speculation, so one more. In Iran crushed, in Iran defeated, that opens up a vacuum in the region. Who takes advantage of that, Jonathan? Who wins if Iran loses? Who wins big in the region?
Look, in my view, if Iran loses and if they begin to unravel, if that axis begins to lose steam. Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, all of these proxy groups, if they truly begin to weaken, then what we see is the rise of the pragmatists. These would be the Saudis, the Emiratis, the Bahrainis, potentially the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Moroccans. These are the countries that are within the U.S. alliance structure. These are the ones that we want to empower, and we could begin to see the further broadening and expansion of the Abraham Accords. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that there won't be other bad actors that try to exploit a vacuum. But I do think that right now this is an opportunity to change the Middle East if things go in the right direction.
I think what you just described is something that the U.S. would prosper with. Yes, that would be a very positive outcome for Washington.
It would be remarkably positive, John, which is what makes all of this so confusing. Yes. When you see the frustration of the United States president, as President Biden excoriates Netanyahu, as he expresses his frustration with the Israelis for starting to turn the tide of this war. It's as if he doesn't want them to win. It's as if he doesn't want them to change the momentum against an adversary of the United States. So the position of this president is rather difficult for me to fathom right now, but yet that's exactly where we are.
Jonathan Schanzer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.